So go to your Bibles and join us. Take some notes. Reflect on what we say tonight, and according to the Word of God, and we'll be happy for it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you for every person watching. We pray in the name of Jesus that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing would come and break the yoke of bondage. We pray, Lord God, that you stretch forth your hand to heal, that those that are sick will receive healing. As I'm preaching, you'll begin to reveal to them the healing power of Jesus and how that's available to them. We thank you, Lord God, as people's lives are being reviewed and as they're looking at themselves tonight, they'll begin to make adjustments on the inside, some small, some big, and some maybe a lifetime of change. And we give you praise for the Word of God. We thank you so much for the Word that gives life, this life-changing Word that's going forth. And we praise you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the angels of God that are around us. We surround ourselves by confessing the blood of Jesus. We thank you for forgiveness because of the blood. We thank you, Lord God, that will this Word that will enable us to have victory over every single issue that faces us because you want us to be ruling as kings on this earth. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, if you have your Bibles. I want to talk about giving mercy to people and not judging others. And so we're calling this Do Not Judge. Do not judge others. Our text is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Jesus talking to his followers, his leaders, leadership, disciples. And he says, judge not that you may not be judged. Matthew chapter 7, 1, King James Version. In the New Living Translation, it says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. So the main idea tonight, as we want to bring across to you, is that you will be judged in the same way or the same manner that you judge other people. So in our introduction statement, we should make mention that Jesus is talking to his followers, his closest companions on the earth. I believe we're no more or less close to Jesus. He lives on inside of each one of us by the Holy Spirit. And his statements to those believers back then is the same thing he would say to us today. It's a statement of truth, a statement or a word that is given to us in due season. He's saying, hey, don't judge other people, or you will be judged in the same way. You know, we don't like to have people judge us. We have people who make statements about us. Sometimes they're true, but they judge us. Sometimes they're not true, or some might be half true of what they say. But we don't like other people judging us. And God doesn't want us to go around judging other people. That's not our job. There's a certain amount of judging that has to go on, but it's not the same kind of judgment that the people are issuing in this hour, making judgmental statements about people. But God wants us to evaluate and make sure that we're judging ourselves on the basis of ourselves, according to the Word of God, and not going around trying to change people, make people do things that we ought to be doing ourselves. And so the question is, have you made any judgments lately? And what kind of judgments are they? Are they false? Are they true? Are they half-truths? Are they, you know, something that you maybe judging before the time? And so we've made judgments. And we find many people who make judgments immediately excuse themselves because they say, you know, my judgment after all is true, and I should be able to judge that person and make statements. And I see sometimes, you know, we do this publicly in so many ways, and today we have multi media, we have the social media, and we say things sometimes. And I've noticed over the years that some pastors, maybe ministers worldwide on television, maybe I've seen some made terrible judgments and judge other churches and other Christians and other leaders. And they themselves soon, I found, got into a lot of trouble. And this is important to understand. God says if you make judgments in a public way, you'll be humiliated as well. You'll be found out, and you'll find yourself standing on the same in the same way. So sometimes we excuse ourselves, and we don't see ourselves in the light in the fashion that we should, according to the Word of God. So too many people are making judgments across the board, including Christians in the church, judging one another, judging the way people live their Christian lives, judging churches and what they do and how they worship and who they let in leadership and how much money they're giving and how much work they're doing. And they should be doing the same thing, and so on and so on and so on. And so we find this problematic. And so what is a judgment? If you say judgment, you know, judgment is we make statements. Judging or judgment is making personal statements and opinions about people and their ways, and making those statements and coming up and whether or not, you know, making a statement whether or not these people are coming up to the standard that you judge them by. And so only really truly God can make judgments. He only can do the judging. God only knows the intents of people's hearts. He knows people's ways. He sees you rising up in the morning. He knows the very words you're going to say. He knows the thoughts that you think even before you say them. The scripture says that. And we, as humans, people of, we only see from our natural way, our natural eyes, and we can only make judgments on the exterior, and we can judge people's appearance, outward appearance, and so on. And Jesus is talking here to the people of his day, the religious folks, and he made a statement over here in John chapter 8, verse 15. He said, "You judge me by human standards, but I don't judge anyone." See, you know, we judge by our human standard, which is very, very limited. We have very limited knowledge. We can't see a person's heart, or we can't read their minds. And so the Lord speaking here again and to Samuel, or even through Samuel, even to us, the Lord speaking to Samuel, he said, the Lord said to Samuel, over in 1 Samuel 16, 7, he says, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, or I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And sometimes we judge things, we don't know what's in people's hearts, because we don't know people's hearts unless God shows you through the gifts of the Spirit, you know, what someone's intention is for a certain time, but that's only very special occasions. You might have that, you might never have it. Sometimes God gives you that for protection and shows you different things. One time I've heard of one minister who he was some person, a lady was interested in him, a younger man, and God had plans, big plans for his life, and so this, God opened his eyes to the situation and saw what this person was like and what they would do in certain situations, and revealed to him that he should stay away from this person and was in kind of immoral activities so on, and dishonesty. The Lord saved him from that person, and he was allowed to move on from there. And so that can happen once in a while, but very, very seldom that God will show you. And these are the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And so that doesn't always happen. The Bible says, as the Spirit leads, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 7, it says, as the Lord wills. And that doesn't always happen. So we can't make judgments about people and issue our convictions or judgments on them, when we ought to offer mercy towards people, one another. If we want God's mercy in our lives, we need to offer God's mercy to other people. And so, let's go ahead here, read John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 1 to 10. Jesus here is talking to people about judging, when people make judgments. Because we judge people on the basis of what we see in our standards, and maybe our minds and standards are colored with our, you know, political stripes or our cultural background, our educational background, whatever it is. We judge things based on those things. And so we can't make perfect judgments about people. So it says here, Jesus returned, John chapter 8, to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him, saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. And he kept demanding an answer. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When all the accusers heard, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? You see, we don't see the heart, and God wants to offer forgiveness, and he wants to offer mercy to people when they fell back into sin. And you know, in the Christian church, particularly, we're hard on each other. And we've gotten too legalistic, and we judge people. We say, "Well, that one's sinning too much," and so on. We need to watch what we're doing. And yes, this was a problem. Yes, this woman committed adultery. What about the man? He was in the same boat. He should have been stoned just as much as the woman over here. And so we've made judgment statements. Jesus didn't judge this woman. He knew her sin. He knew what was going on, but he didn't condemn her. And so we need to act likewise, like the Lord. He offered this woman forgiveness, and he gave judgment, his mercy to her. So God is the only one that can be qualified. In Matthew 7:5, Jesus, you know, we continues over here. We're reading the scripture from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said in 7:1, judge not, and you shall not be judged. And then we read along Matthew chapter 7:5. Jesus said, you hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see over here. Let's pick up from verse 3. It says in here, why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? He said, first deal with your own self and self-evaluate. And I don't think, first of all, you're qualified to be judging people. That's what he's saying. And take care of yourself, and never mind everybody else. Take care of your own life. You know, you find out when you begin to take care of your own life, stop talking about people, stop judging them, you'll have a good life. You'll have a peaceful life. Don't go minding your business and other people's lives, and live right. You know, there's a time to do some things and some evaluations and some discussions with people. But we can't go condemning people in the world, and especially Christians who, judge the people of the world by the standards of Scripture, and they themselves don't even produce that themselves in their own lives. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, New Living Translation, he said, "Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." So you need to get rid of this stuff. Sometimes you can't even judge. You got so much, you know, blindness yourself that you can't. Why are you trying to help the other guy out when you have so much blindness in your own life? And so, people have problems. We all have problems, and we can help them if we can. So we need a good foundation when it comes to learning how to give judgments and at least evaluations on people in their lives. It's a huge deal, judging people. And it will bring problems in your own life when you start judging. So we can avoid, problems in our own lives when we start judging other people. People have been judged, in a critical, harsh way at times and hurt people. People have hurt people because they judge very harshly and at very such a high standard, and they themselves don't do the same thing. And so when you do that, you're in a big mess yourself. So people who have judged these people can get into trouble. So let's go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31. It says here, "But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way." So Paul is telling the Corinthians that we need to examine ourselves. And when we begin to take responsibility of our lives and start judging ourselves from the standard of the Word of God for our own selves, then God will not judge you. So you have to personally take care of your own house and take care of your life with God and walk with Him and find out what you need to change in your own life. And it's really easy to be reckless with your own Christian life, with your own spirituality. And because we're so involved with people and we're out in the world, and it's easy to slip into a state of what they call fleshiness or worldly ideas. And we start doing things from the natural. And so we have to examine our own hearts and repent ourselves so that we can avoid judgment ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11, 32 says, "And when we judge, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world." So, we can start judging ourselves. We don't want to be condemned with the world. We don't want to have all these issues coming in towards our lives. So we need to take care of our lives. So we will eventually be judged if we don't make the effort and self-evaluate and make the changes that is necessary in our own personal lives. So stop being so harsh on people and start including yourself and stop looking at yourself in the light that maybe you have. So verse 13 over here. Let's go and see James chapter 2, 12 and 13. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when He judges you. I've seen different things, particularly in this time. I've seen people making judgments about different things. People are mean. People can be very mean, including a lot of Christians. Particularly, it doesn't have to be, if you're a Christian, if you don't have the Spirit of God working in your life, you're going to be just as mean as the next guy or even meaner than some people who are in the world. Because there's some people in the world that they have good morals and they don't always speak everything with their mind. They learn to hold judgments and learn to keep their tongue. And sometimes some Christians don't, and they start judging people. So I've seen a whole lot of people judging other people. They're judging religious people. And I just look at the television, look at the just look on the internet. You look at all the things that people judge. Churches, they're judging leaders. They're judging the prime minister. They're judging, their judges or courts and police officers. They're making judgments about other people's children, other people's families. judging the way they're spending, and just continue on. And I was looking at my Facebook this morning and seeing all this stuff going on and people making judgments. And I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, this sounds really harsh and very dangerous. I realize that sometimes, you know, during hard, difficult times, we got to learn how to take evaluation and look at things. And so I've seen so many people over the years that make very strong judgments about people and get into trouble. And if you look back and you see that yourselves, people who judge, they eventually get into trouble. Verse 13 says, there'll be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy. So, hey, if you want mercy in your own life, stop commenting and about the president, about the prime minister, and what they're not doing, what they should be doing, how you would do it, and the way you would run the country, the way you would run a hockey team, and the way you would do this. I mean, people continually blasting other people and just judging by their own standards. And it's difficult. And so anybody, we can get caught up in that. If you start reading, you know, some of it's comical. You know, some have to laugh at some of the stuff that goes on. But it doesn't get that comical. It stops being comical after a certain time. And so there's it's problematic. So eventually, people are going to get into trouble. Bible says, James 2:13, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. So it's important that we see the scripture. But if you look at our beginning scripture, it says here that Jesus said, judge not that you may not be judged. You see, if people actually believe that and really understood that, they wouldn't judge. So they don't really believe that. They think they're going to get away with it. They think I can go on here on my Facebook. I can say what I want to say, and it's my Facebook. It's my status. I can say what I want to say. It's mine. And so they go ahead and put stuff on there, or get online, get on Facebook Live, and just begin to blurt out all these judgments about everything. And they're in a very, very bad predicament, because all this stuff, everything you've judged on, is coming back to you. There's only one person, only one can judge, and that's God. And we need to do certain things. Yes, there's courts and legal things going on, and yes, there's been a mess with different things, but we still have to trust God, and we still have to be merciful to people. And so, you'll be judged by the law that you have used on other people. You will not experience mercy when you have not shown mercy. So don't act perfect, because one day you're going to need to have mercy in your own life. James, again, 2:12-13. The NIV says this. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. So when you get up and talk, get up on that Facebook and put that status on there, write something on there. Remember, you are going to be judged by the same way. Maybe someone's going to come along and do the same thing to you. So you have to, you know, my pastor wrote me this morning and said, Pastor Roma, listen, we're offering condolences for all that's happened over there in BC with those 215 young bodies, young children that was found in the earth, buried among, you know, in that residential school, the old residential school thing, you know. Hey, God's gonna be the judge of that. And yes, we're going to do our legal things. Yes, we're going to do different things. Yes, some people will have to come up and, you know, I found in these last days with these things that's going on, we're pulling in people in there that have to answer to their ancestors. And the Bible says that people will have to pay for their own sins. And Jesus paid the sin of everybody. And we can't be dragging in people that love God and paint everybody with the same brush. And people are going to have to backtrack on some things they're saying about people. I'm not going to pass judgment on anyone, because I like my peace. I like to be healthy. The Bible says, you know, when we start going in that one direction, pretty soon we're going to find some very bad calamity in our own lives. And so my pastor offered condolences, and I said, thank you. And, you know, I wrote some things on myself in a very educational way. Hope people take it from an educational way of offering, you know, what's been happening across Canada. Last night, my daughter happened to be at the site over in Toronto where people were defacing, you know, a statue of someone, you know, who was involved in conceiving the residential school system, the colonial method of, you know, what they're doing with our people. And she was there to offer, put some little shoes as a you know, as a display of giving, you know, offering condolences and so on. And she was interviewed by the CP 24 Toronto News, and she mentioned the fact that, you know, it's affected her, affected all of us. And this whole thing, this atrocity, has affected a lot of us, and a lot of us have you know, first of all, when this happened, many of us were angered. We felt anger, and I had to be very careful to not open my mouth. And my mother, you know, spent most of her life in the residential school, taken away from the arms of her own mother, and spent all those years in residential school and came out mentally ill, and never seen my mother happy, you know, to a large extent in my life. And always, she was always sick with anxiety and mental health issues, and suffered greatly with alcoholism, and was just tremendously affected. All the family, all of my siblings, and every one of us became alcoholics. My mother was completely mad, and so on. And we all suffered. And then as a result, I had to get healed. It took me a long time to get healed, and I suffered many things, and even from my own people, on my own reserve. I felt, you know, the things that happened to my parents were just horrible. And it took me a while to get over stuff and not to be mad. And I was enraged, and I got violent as well. And a lot of things that people judged me by my own, what has happened to me as a kid, they don't know what happened to Roma. And I had to figure out what happened to me. And so I walked the streets of this city looking for shelter, looking for a place to go. And the Lord got a hold of me and changed my life. And I mean, I was a mess even after sobering up for a few years. I was still a mess for, I would say, 5 years after I sobered up. Things don't go away quickly. And I know when someone walks through the doors of our church, they get born again. I know they're not going to be okay in 2 weeks or a month or a year or 2 years or 3 years. Sometimes it's going to take a long time to get better. And so we need to show mercy to people that are walking through those church doors, walking through those Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, walking through those self-help groups. It's going to take a long time for people to get better. No one gets better overnight. And so with all the stuff that's going on across Canada, and my pastor offered, you know, forgiveness, and they want me to appear on this national program next week, a couple of weeks' time, about, you know, how do we answer these things? How do we help First Nations people? I said, I'm not an expert. I don't know anything. I can offer what I know, you know, my experience. You know, it's amazing. People are looking for answers everywhere. They're looking for answers, how to do this, how to do that. And we do. And I had someone Facebook message me this morning, and he said, "I'm so confused. I'm so confused about my own Christian faith now. About why did God allow those children to be hurt and destroyed and killed and so on, and all kinds of things." You know, without God's word, people are absolutely crazy, and they're in the darkness without the word of God. So I begin to show scripture, and pretty soon that person's eyes open. Why these things happen? It's only the Word of God can reveal to people, and people without the Word, just intellectual knowledge alone and statistics and all those things and some historical things, yes, these things happen, but there is a spiritual source that is actually arrayed against people. And, you know, intellectuals, they don't talk about that part, but there is an issue with spiritual problems that people are not addressing, and it's a problem in there. And so even for our, from our First Nations perspective, they're judging churches, they're judging people. And hey, you got to be very careful. And then tomorrow, yesterday, I heard someone backtracking said, you know, hey, not all churches are bad. Not all churches was responsible for this. You know, not all priests are pedophiles. Not all nuns are pedophiles. Hey, I've met some beautiful nuns and beautiful priests who were pastors who actually were godly people. Not everyone was godly. Not every one of them was born again. They were still a child of the devil serving in the church, in the ministry. Why is there some churches that have pedophiles in the church working in the children's ministry and find out 20 years later that this guy is affecting children? So it could happen anywhere. So we have to be careful how we're judging things and not judge things before the time. So that's a little bit of a salt with your food today. I think we need to see things in light. So we have to, it says here, James 12, 2 and 12 and 13, he says, speak and act as though you're going to be judged by the law that gives you freedom. Hey, the freedom, it could give you freedom or it could just bind you. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Thank God, mercy triumphs over judgment. Every morning, I say, God, I give you praise. I'm asking for wisdom today. I'm asking in the name of Jesus. I thank you today for your mercy. Your compassion is new. Every morning, I can come to you every moment of the day and say, Lord, forgive. And when I see people having sinning, they're causing themselves pain, I ask God, give mercy. Sometimes I'll go to a hospital bed and someone's dying. And I've done it many times where the family is crying. They want me to do something. They want me to perform a miracle. I can't perform miracles. I can't heal anybody. But sometimes I'm put on in a place like that where everybody's looking at you in the hospital. And I just, the only way I can go is, Lord, give us your mercy. Show us your mercy. Don't let this person die without giving you a chance to know. Give me a chance to talk to that person. Give that person a chance to hear the gospel before if they're going to die. And so sometimes you live, sometimes you don't. I'm not your judge. But sometimes we judge God. I was talking to Pastor Ken the other day. I said, sometimes, you know, I can understand why sometimes people judge God and they because they don't have no scripture. And we people of God, need to not judge God because we can get in a lot of trouble. Because if you're natural, I can see how that can happen. That's what I'm saying. And so Job, if you look in the book of Job, the Bible says over here in Job chapter 1, verse 7, Job was a man who judged God. And he got into a lot of trouble. His friends judged him. And Job started judging God. And he got into trouble. And so we see over here in Job chapter 1, verse 7, for the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered, and the Lord, from roaming throughout the whole earth, going back and forth on it. You know, it says here the devil is roaming around, going back and forth, looking around. That's still happening right now. That the devil is going around and he's looking for a way into your life and the lives of anybody who will open up to them. He's looking for an open door into your life. And we can allow this to happen, and we can allow this by judging people. And so Job 1:7, New Living Translation says, where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Well, God's watching everything. Satan has a limited knowledge, but he's watching as much as he can. And he's watching your life, and he knows what's going on in your life. He knows some of your ancestors. He knows Uncle John. Auntie Margie. He knows old Jimmy that died, you know, in your family. And he has some kind of a way about him. And he knows about those people. And he'll even through different ways try to appear like he's one of these people sometimes. You know, I've heard that thing happen where somebody, you know, has passed away. They call on the spirit, and you know, within, you know, people that I've known, they've called, they talked to different spirits, and they know where so and so died, and where they're hidden, and where you can find them, and I've seen it. They go and check where that person has been missing and found that person there. And so they say, well, it's God. Well, not everything spiritual, supernatural is God, because demons and demonic and evil forces can deceive you, thinking you're thinking that it's God. And so I've seen that happen. They're deceptions. And so so this is going on today, that Satan is patrolling. Satan is looking for someone to destroy. John 10:10, Jesus said that Satan comes for us to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what he's doing in Job chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 talks about that Satan is looking for an opportunity to come in your life, to come inside and destroy you. The Bible says that he's looking for someone's availability. So in terms of Job, he started to accuse God of being unfair to him. And so he started talking to his friends about how God was, if God, you know, God judged me, see if there's anything wrong with me. He was looking at himself and say, I've never done anything wrong. I've been perfect. And why is this happening to me? And start blaming God for what's happening to him. Job 1:8 says, NIV, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered, it says it here to Satan, have you considered Job, my servant? There is no one on the earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. So Job was a person who God says he was an upright person, a really high standard living person. Job was a good man. He was actually famous in that area, and he was rich. He was also very influential in that city, and the devil wanted him out because he was so influential, he was affecting people, influencing them to God, to living a good life. He wanted to take advantage of this situation. The devil wants to come in your life and destroy you. If you're influencing people, he wants to come and destroy your life too, just like he did try to do with Job. But he couldn't take Job on. He tried. But God wouldn't let him. God did his best to help Job. Even Job was wrong in his ways. You know, sometimes you're wrong, and God's still protecting you. He's not going to allow Satan to just come and destroy your life. And a lot of people think, oh, the devil's going to come and just come and destroy me. No, he's not. He's not. He just can't come in your life and destroy you and your family because he wants to. So you're going to have to open that door. You're the one, you're the head of your home. Head of your house, and some people don't believe that. They don't believe that. They just live like, you know, hey, you know, I'm not responsible. You are responsible. So why does he come to people's lives? You know, he's looking to judge you. He's looking to evaluate whether or not he can bring a judgment against you. That's what he's doing. He's looking at your life to see whether or not where you're wrong, so he can come in and bring judgment in your life. So. Satan had access to Job, like he has access to you. But God drew protection as much as he could around Job. And Job wanted, the devil wanted Job to be gone because his life was being so influential that it's affecting these people. He's a rich man and a very godly man, influencing people for good. So in Job 37, verse 23 and 24, New Living says, Job's friend began to judge him, and finally, Job started judging God too. So they said here, we cannot imagine the power of the Almighty, but even though he is just and righteous. You know, God is just and righteous in everything he does. So when we go and judge God, we bring in judgment on ourselves. He does not destroy, no wonder people everywhere fear him. All who are wise should show reverence. You know, we got to show proper respect for God because he knows everything. And we judge him. We say, you know, if I was God, I'd do this and so on. I would, I wouldn't let this person live. Whatever it is. We would, you know, it's too bad that you're not in control of healing. So Satan, So a certain time, finally, God spoke to Job and said, asking Job, where were you when I created the world? When I laid the foundation of the world, where were you? Did you offer me any advice? Did you help me out making all this stuff? And how do all the planets work together? And how did all this happen? You weren't there, and now you're trying to offer me advice? And so God is talking to Job, because Job was saying to God, I would do this, God, come and judge me, because I'm perfect, I'm great. So it's not me, I don't have a problem. God should know that, I don't have a problem. But he's got the problem. Why is he letting all this happen to me? Why is my kids dying? Why do I lose this? And so on. And hey, some of us, we can get in trouble with God. We need to watch out. So, Job 31, 4 to 7. A certain time God finally spoke to Job. Job said, if God was here, I would ask God some questions. Doesn't he see everything I do and every step I take? Have I lied to anyone or deceived anyone? Let God weigh in on me the scales of justice, for he knows my integrity. If I strayed from his path, or if my heart has lusted for what my eyes have seen, or if I'm guilty of any sin. So this guy, man, he's not taking responsibility. he's proclaiming himself to be like, hey, I got no problem. What's wrong with you? So the Bible says, Job 38, verse 1 to 7, then the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you. And you must answer me. Or must answer them. Verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundation, and who laid the cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together, would all the angels shouted for joy? So many people are confused about what's going on in the world and making judgments about God. They're blaming God that things are going on in the world. I had someone call me today that he said, why did God let those little children die? If there's a God, why is all this evil going on? They don't understand. If you don't have the Bible, you're not going to understand. I see people making statements about a lot of things, about healing and judging God, and judging, different religion. We hate religion. It's putting all kinds of standards on people because it's religion. God will set us free from it. And thank God, I hate religion too. Somebody said, I hate religion. I said, I hate it too. And God hates religion. But he loves Jesus. He loves the Spirit of Christ. He loves the Holy Word of God. That's the best thing can ever happen to someone. So many people get confused in the world and make judgments towards God. And finally here, Job came to a place where he admitted he repented from what his judgments. The problems in Job's life occurred because he made judgmental things in his heart towards God. He repented of his ways, and God restored him and blessed him more than he ever imagined. God forgave him, and then... Job was able to pray for his friends. He had to forgive his friends too for talking to him. When you pray for your friends, you got to be able to forgive your friends. So he must have started walking in forgiveness. So the Bible says he prayed for his friends over here, Job 42:10. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. So how does one open the door to the enemy? Well, we open the door to the enemy by our judging. Jesus said, don't judge, or you'll be judged. We'll be tempted to judge. All of us will be tempted. We have been tempted. We've all judged people. All of us. And there's nobody in this room right here, and nobody in listening to me has never, has done this perfect. So we all been tempted to judge, and it's a spiritual problem. We find fault with all kinds of people and their ways and their thinking and their values. And we don't like different things. So evil spirits are assigned to people to get you, help you get involved, to bring judgment on other people. They'll try to force you to judge, make judgment statements on other people, so they can get you and open the door, so they can bring judgment on your life. They know. And so in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, New Living says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Verse 8, the dragon lost the battle and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. Verse 9 says, this great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. You know, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. Just when he tells you, you're not going to make it, your kids are going down, you're going to die early, you're going to lose your health, and if you listen to that, you're going to give in to that. And you got to resist every thought that comes against you and stand strong in the Word of God and say, nope, according to God's Word, this is what it says, according to what He said, I believe the Word. The Bible says, verse 10, then I heard a voice shouting across heaven, it has come at last, salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren and sisters has been thrown down to the earth, and the one who accuses them before God day and night. See, this is happening day and night. It's a continual thing that He's accusing you. He's trying to make judgments upon your life, because you have to open the door for judgments to come in your life. And the Bible says in the next verse of Scripture, it says that we've overcome him, Revelation 12:11, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, by their testimony. You know, we can avoid this thing by applying the blood, walking in the blood of, under the blood, and walking in righteousness and holiness. So today, if you pass judgment on someone, it's urgent that you begin to repent of your ways today. Learn to come to God and repent of the way you've been acting towards people and how you pass judgment on them. Ask God to forgive you right now. So we want to close right now in prayer and ask God to forgive us. The Scripture says that if God is faithful and just, that He is faithful and righteous, then He will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, for 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 9. If we could confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we want to close in prayer. Father, let's pray all together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we make confession and we repent of our ways. We pray that we have been guilty of judging people. We have judged not only people, but we have judged You for not treating us the way we think that You should treat us. God, You are righteous and holy, and all Your judgments are true, and anything that happens, You've done right. So we ask Your forgiveness. You are the true and almighty God. There is no one like You. And so, Father, we turn away from our own sins of being judgmental. And we ask for mercy, not only for our own lives, for those other people. We refuse to judge. And we ask, Father, to forgive everyone who's made judgment statements about us, who've judged us, and anything that is dear to us. Maybe they've judged our lives and our children and our ways. And I'm asking that forgiveness be granted to them. Release them. I release them. And everyone there. So we thank You for that. You're the only true God, and You know all hearts. So thank You for forgiveness. And I'll walk in victory and overcome all the power of the enemy. And I will not be judged in Jesus' name. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged.